What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
The 23rd annual WEEI Ness and Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon, presented by Arbella Insurance. Here for the Jimmy Fund, here for good. And powered by Verizon, findmassmoney.gov, Terrains by James, House, and BJ's Wholesale Club.
We need your help. Dial 877-738-1234 to make a gift.
Now, back to Jones and Keefe in the WEEI Nesson Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon.
1 hour left to Jones and Keefe before we hand off to WEEI Afternoons. They will carry on here with day one of the Jimmy Fund Telethon. Already at almost $500,000, $498,176 and counting. Continue to donate, 877-738-1234, online, jimmyfund.org, or you can text to give any amount to 56512. Just text KCANCER to 56512. You see on twitch.tv/BostonWEEI, the Rob Hale match board there is just a hair under.
I love
under.
The graphic.
It is.
A great graphic.
That's new
version.
This year.
Yeah.
He's up to just a tick under the $500,000. A reminder, if you're just tuning in, through the generosity of Rob and Karen Hale, they've announced a matching challenge for today through the end of tonight's Red Sox game. So this is through the end of the game tonight.
All right.
We need to get to $1 million, so they will add an additional $1 million. If we don't get there, they're not going to do it. So Rob and Karen will match that amount. That means don't wait. Donate now, again, at 877-738-1234, or you can text KCANCER to 56512. We've talked to, quite a few people today, Keith. We're going to talk to Greg coming up. Will Fleming is going to join us at 1:30. We'll also hand things off to WEEI Afternoons later on in the hour. We talked to Heather. That was a first. Where we were interviewed by
She did her research. She came in. She had some notes down.
She had She had a lot of notes down.
She asked us several questions during the break. Put us on the spot, which I liked. That was a little switcheroo. Wasn't ready for that.
That was the old switcheroo that we are not used to getting put under the hot lights there.
Wasn't ready for that.
Yeah,
by
the patients.
Like, my name's Rich. Really nice to meet you. She's like, I know who you are. And I was like, oh, okay. She's like, I know who both of you are. I was like, all right.
I give her a lot of credit. Olivia was on here just roasting the whole family.
She did. She boom roasted everybody in the family. No, she was very nice to her mom. She boom roasted her dad and her brother.
No, she did.
Yeah.
It was good.
Yeah, that was.
Look, sometimes you got to josh him a little bit,
uh-huh.
You know, Keith?
You got him.
And so it's been an inspiring day.
Yep.
And thanks to you out there listening and donating as well. So we mentioned we're going to talk to Will Fleming. We'll talk some Red Sox coming up. We talked to Hunter Henry last hour. A little bit of Patriots talk in there as well. Their final game is this week on Thursday. Then they'll turn things around and get on the field for the first time against the Raiders. Just generally, I like to check in and talk about this. How do we feel about the direction of where they're going? It felt like the joint practices against Minnesota, especially the second day.
Yeah.
And even the way they played in the game, I know they won, but I didn't love how the first team offense looked in that game. It felt like maybe it's a half step back, whereas I felt like they were actually getting some momentum coming out of the Washington week.
Yeah, I guess at least like the expectation for the offense isn't super high. Like, I think even with the additions that they've made, you're like, all right, maybe they have a number one receiver, maybe they have a left tackle, like maybe they have a playmaker in their running back in Henderson. But nobody's looking at it like this is going to be a top 10 offense.
Nope.
Right? Like, if they are, that means they exceeded expectation big time. I think more middle of the pack is one where you would say, all right, that's a good season, and it's a place to sort of build off of. Because you're right. I don't think the last couple of weeks you would say, man, you feel great about the offense. Right? Like, you kind of don't. And, like, with Drake May, you want to not turn the ball over. But there's so many kind of wild cards in all this. Like, how many games? I don't think we've seen – have we seen a snap with, like, the 11 guys we think are going to be out there to start the game? Like, Morgan Moses is barely out there.
Yeah, no, I don't think so,
kind of in and out. Hunter Henry, even, we just talked to, in and out.
Like, yep.
Ramondre Stevenson, obviously.
In and out, thank you. Yeah, so, no, like, I don't think so, no.
So that's weird when you're like, all right, you've had a full –
I'd also tell you, I don't think they even know anymore who the 11 are, because we thought it was going to be
left guard. We don't know.
We thought it was going to be Wilson on the left side with Campbell, and now I think that's in flux. So I'm not even sure they know who the 11 are, but we definitely haven't seen them, whoever they are.
Yeah, and so I still, you know, I'm optimistic about the season more so than our last guests who were like laughed at us when we said playoffs. They're like, no.
I could have sworn I read some positivity out of the house crew. I was typically very incorrect. That's
but no, but I still think the defense is going to be good, and I think the direction that Vrabel has him going in is good. I think he's a good head coach. Of some of those close games, you feel like, all right, maybe he's going to get the better of the other opponent kind of thing. But offensively, like, there's nothing yet to make you think they're going to like light up the scoreboard or anything like that, right? It's been not a lot of big plays downfield necessarily.
And it's been super hard to gauge because Washington and Minnesota sat everybody.
Yeah, the preseason games, unfortunately, you almost can't. Like, you'd be like, all right, I saw this from Henderson, and I saw this from Chisholm, who, by the way, is also hurt now. So it's like those two guys, though, have given you some sort of reasons for optimism, and you're like, all right, that's an explosive player in Henderson, something they've lacked on offense. Even Kyle Williams, I'll be honest, this is really, like, grading on a curve, but Kyle Williams getting open, I take as a win. I'm like, all right, that's something, because they drafted a lot of receivers in the past that could not do that.
No, that's true.
Nikhil Harry
wasn't getting open very often.
So, all right, it's a small bar to step over, but he did. And so, you know, maybe you have something in this rookie class.
So I want to ask you about Steph Diggs. We asked Hunter Henry about that, just kind of trying to pick his brain about what he's brought to the team and how he's looked. And if you missed any of that, you can check it out on the Audacy app, AUDACY. Get it on your phone, free, easy. You can take it with you wherever you go. Use the rewind feature to listen to Hunter Henry. A lot of good stuff there. So when it was Steph Diggs, we were asking him about what he was able to, you know, see from him and glean from him. I've started to get, not discouraged, but just I've started to really question where it's going. I know it's where we left off last week. How are you feeling now after the weekend? We didn't see him play in the game. About the trajectory of Diggs and where we're at with that, because it's wild. Karen Garigian was writing about how ineffective he's been in these joint practices and these full 11s. She even hinted that maybe he was late. Not
mysteriously late.
Not managed for the Washington joint practice, but late. On top of that, he gave his weird answer to Russini. Vrabel was super snippy about that.
Oh, so that's gotten picked up a little bit more or discussed more, and everybody keeps saying, like, oh, I think – because I heard the Morning Show talking about this too.
Yeah, like, me too.
They're like, I think the Diggs comments get overblown. I don't think that's what it was. I think it's Vrabel's response, because you and I were on in between when those came out, right? We were on after the Diggs thing and before Vrabel, and we even both said
– he might be just playing coy.
Or like odd wording, but whatever.
Yeah.
And we kind of let it die there.
Yeah.
And I think it was more Vrabel being like, oh, you believe that, Phil? And like, you idiot. Remember, like, he's yelling at Phil? And
right.
Like, that's a weird term.
Like, that's really not –
no,
it's really not a crazy question.
I think it had more to do
– easy one to answer.
I think it had way more to do with that. I think if Vrabel – wasn't asked about it or gave it a very simple, like, yeah, like, you know, he's doing what we need him to do type of thing, then it probably would have moved on. But no, I don't know how you could sit here, because I was as optimistic on the Steph Diggs signing when it happened.
Yeah.
And the second he even took the field at OTAs, and I know there was some back and forth there, he missed one, but when he was out there for that and just leading some of the drills, I was like, all right, that's pretty good. That seems to be ahead of schedule. And then the first day of camp that we were at, and he was the best receiver on the team, that was probably the highest I was. That was probably like, he might have a 1,000-yard season.
Oh, when,
he might,
when we,
he might be the first 1,000-yard guy in a while.
The first 2 days of training camp,
yeah,
which, brag, we were there for. We
sure were.
But
this is pre-binox. You
didn't even have the binoculars yet.
I know.
And, yeah, we were both pretty bold. I didn't think he'd be out there. I didn't think he'd be doing what he was doing. I didn't think he'd look as good as he had. That was kind of the high point, because since then – There hasn't been as much of him standing out in 11-on-11 or even 7-on-7, the joint practice, any of that. I mean, he really hasn't stood out. There's been no opportunity to see him in the preseason. So to me, it's just back under a big question mark. That doesn't mean he's going to be bad.
No.
That doesn't mean he can't be good. But I was chalking that up as more of a solid thing to rely on or something that I was starting to expect.
I thought he'd be their clear number one.
And now I think it's just fair to characterize it as a question mark.
Well, also, you can take all the preseason over-unders or like the futures bets with a grain of salt, right? Like, even if you're not a bettor, but they sort of put them out there to get people to bet on both sides. So, for example, the Patriots win total is 8.5. And that's where a lot of people kind of come down on. Like, do you think they're going to win 9 games? Think they're going to win less or whatever? So it's like a good metric, right?
Yeah.
For
roughly
where they're going to be. Steph Diggs' receiving yards is at 750. Over-under 750. So there's a world where, like, the under bet is, like, a 700-yard season or whatever, or that's not what I thought you were getting when you brought him in, because also with 17 games, we've looked this, it's not even that impressive.
No.
Like a 1,000-yard season. Like
45 yards a game or something like that? Is it even that?
Oh, for 750, I think. For 1,000, it's probably more like 60.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. It's higher for
it's probably more like, right, but right. Even 60, like if a guy had a game, so if week one, he has six catches for 60 yards. All right, he's a part of the offense. That's good. I'll take it. But you're not looking at that like, wow, circle
that,
this one.
That kind of was Houston Steph Diggs.
Like, yeah, he was on pace for like exactly 1,000.
But I mean just like.
Oh, six for 60?
Yes.
The
explosiveness already kind of wasn't there for him last year.
But this offense needs a six for 60 guy. They didn't have that.
Oh, no, I agree.
So I'll take it.
But I just think, I guess my point is, I think he had already shown some signs of a drop-off in play before the injury.
No, that's fair. But I just think if. And I had at one point thought he might be the first 1,000-yard receiver since 2019. And you're like, all right, if he does that, he is going to smash what Vegas is predicting, right? He's going to fly past that by 250 yards. So I don't know. Now it's like before I would have said, I don't know what the number is, but he's for sure going to lead the team in receiving. I'm not as confident in that. We just haven't seen it. And I don't even think it's a matter of.
So who would lead instead? You're not going to Henderson, are you? Because I was about to ask you about Henderson.
I don't think so. I think it would either be Douglas. Like Popper or Booty, honestly. Like Booty last year, I kind of thought it was more of a, well, they didn't have anybody. But he's been somebody that Drake feels good throwing to all camp this year. And so maybe between Pop and Booty, whoever plays every game. You know, like, you know, if one of those guys misses a couple games, that knocks him down. It might be pretty close. But I don't think it'll be Henry. I don't think it'll be a back. I think Henderson will be featured, but if he leads your team in receiving yards, that's a really
probably not great, unless he's going to be like a Kamara-like impact.
I was gonna say, that's
in
Kamara
year one.
Or Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah, somebody like that. Yeah. Exactly. Well, how about sticking with Travion Henderson for a moment? Because I do think Diggs is now back to just being a question mark. Doesn't mean he'll be bad, but I don't think you can count on a huge Steph Diggs season. I just don't know how you could. We didn't see it in Houston. We didn't see it his last year in Buffalo. We barely seen him make an impact so far in camp. So I'm just calling that a question mark. Henderson? And I know it's against all the same backups we were talking about before. That to me is looking like a guy that I think you can count on more and more as a guy who's going to make a pretty big impact.
Yeah.
Not lead the team in receiving,
no,
but make a pretty big impact year one.
But maybe rushing and maybe towards the top.
Kick returns.
In receiving.
In
receptions.
Yeah.
Right? It shouldn't be yards necessarily. But receptions, a couple years ago, didn't Ezekiel Elliott have the most catches on the team?
Yeah,
now, that was a bad offense.
Sounds right, yeah.
Offense.
Not one to trumpet, but yeah.
But, I mean, I wouldn't rule Henderson out of that. That has been a bright spot because it's not just preseason games against second stringers. It's when they go head-to-head with their own defense, he is flashed. In joint practices, he was good. Right, even in the first joint practice day against Minnesota where Drake May made some plays, one of them was to Henderson. And he runs real hard. Like, for a guy who's not that big and is really the best thing he does is speed – we've seen him knock guys down.
Yeah.
He runs between the tackles if you need him to. So the comparisons to James White and Shane Vereen, I get. And I, you know, it's not even like those guys were good players, especially James White. But I think Henderson can be better. I mean, he's drafted higher than both
well, and,
guys was.
And athletically, he should be a lot better than those guys, right?
Definitely
and I think
faster.
That's reflected in the draft capital. Was Vereen? Vereen might have been a second-round pick.
Yeah, Vereen was two or three.
So,
yeah, no, without the same year as Ridley.
Yes.
So they drafted two running backs in the second day, I think. But yeah, but I don't think he was whatever. Henderson was like the second pick of the second round.
Correct.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's a high level of investment there. And I think if I'm going to say Diggs is a question mark, I'll be consistent. I think Henderson is more and more a guy that it looks like you can really count on. So there's some Patriots chatter. We'll get back to the Red Sox as well with Will Fleming, voice of the Red Sox. He's going to join us coming up about 15 minutes from now. At 1:30. A reminder, a lot of ways you can donate. Toll free, 877-738-1234 to day one of the 23rd annual WEEI NESN Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon presented by Arbella Insurance. You can also donate online, jimmyfund.org, or text to give any amount, KCANCER, to 56512. I do want to remind people as well that the support of the Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon presented by Arbella Insurance helps us strike out cancer. Every gift, no matter the size. And it does go further today, at least through the end of the Red Sox game. All of your contributions are effectively going to be doubled if we can get to $1 million. The Hale family will match that second million. So it makes a difference in the lives of adults and children being treated at the Dana-Farber Cancer Institute. 87 cents on every dollar raised is going to support patient care and research for children and adults at Dana-Farber. The support is critical to helping the Jimmy Fund and Dana-Farber defy cancer and achieve its life-saving mission. The telethon over the years, and this is year 23, has raised $74 million. We raised almost $4 million last year, and we want to top that number. So again, 877-738-1234, the toll-free number to do so. You can also text to give any amount, K-Cancer, to 56512. Will Fleming on the way at 1:30, and right after Trending here with Nick LaPan, we're going to talk to Greg Sarantopoulos and his family.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
We need your help. Dial 877-738-1234 to make a gift.
Now, back to Jones and Keefe in the WEEI Nesson Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon.
Jones and Keefe, day one, WEEI Jimmy Fund Telethon. We are up at almost $500,000 right now. A reminder that Rob Hale made the announcement this morning on the Greg Hill Show. It's a matching challenge for everyone out there. So you can dial up 877-738-1234. The matching challenge goes through the end of tonight's Red Sox game. If we raise $1 million, Rob and Karen Hale are going to match that amount, but you only have until the end of the Red Sox game to get there. Again, toll-free, 877-738-1234, online at jimmyfund.org, or you can text to give any amount if that's the easiest way to do it. Just text KCANCER to 56512 to get involved here in the 23rd annual WEEI Nesson Jimmy Fund Telethon. We are joined now by Greg Sarantopoulos, his wife, Alma, and Dr. Daniel Santana Yato joining us here. Guys, thanks so much for coming on and spending some time with us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Our pleasure.
What can you tell us today, Greg, about your story and why you're here today?
Well, I'm here because back in last November, I was diagnosed with prostate cancer, and that was found through a routine PSA test. Men over 50, you know, should have this PSA test. And so I was diagnosed with prostate cancer. Now the interesting thing, kind of on the not so good side, is that when I was having an MRI done for the prostate, I was also diagnosed with, they found a small liposarcoma in the, what's called the retroperitoneum area. So I had two cancers that I was, you know, diagnosed with. So between then and now, it's been a journey of a lot of tests. I went through radiation for the prostate cancer, and I just went through a surgery for them to remove the liposarcoma. So I've been through a lot, and now it's starting. You know, I'm kind of on the sunny side of things, if you want to call it now, you know, recovery. So, yeah.
So, doctor, how rare is getting a double diagnosis like that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's not at all common.
Yeah.
First of all, prostate cancer in someone so young, it's uncommon. So it's a good thing we caught it still in the prostate. Still required a lot of work. But as Greg said, like, while we were figuring out exactly how advanced it was, something didn't quite add up. And that's how we found the second. That second cancer is even more rare. So yes, it was just all the things happening. But amazingly, they've kept through all this. Alma and Greg just seeing every doctor, getting every treatment, and really outstanding courage and just attitude through all this.
Well, was there treatments that sort of aligned? Like, how does that work? Or is there one like, oh, I can't do this because of this? Or
that's a great question. Yeah. So fortunately, we have amazing specialists throughout the board. And so I discussed with some of the other doctors that treat sarcomas, which are the muscle cancers. And we tried to figure out a way that we could get rid of both of these cancers at the same time, because that was very critical. These are both cancers that we expect Greg to live many years outside of. So we just had to coordinate our treatments through it. And as he said, I think the hardest part is behind us.
Now, your family is here today. Alma is with us. I think, was that Amelia and Daniel updating the board? Is that who was over there updating the board?
Yeah. Oh, nice.
So we are up over $500,000 now, $525,337. Continue to donate toll-free, 877-738-1234, or text KCANCER 56512 to give any amount. What's the experience like for the family and how the Jimmy Fund and Dana-Farber help deal with or treat really the entire family, not just you individually, but the entire experience for the family?
Well, I think the people that work here are just amazing. Yeah. From day one, like the first appointment, the nurses, the people that greet you, they're just so different that they make you feel at peace, or I don't know how to describe it, but that just... When you go to the appointments, you know that they're going to take really good care of you. Everyone greets you with a smile. Everyone is very nice. Everyone is always asking you how to do. And they were always asking if we needed additional help, which fortunately we didn't need. But if we wanted to, it was there. So if we wanted to, we could have asked for it, and they would have provided that. But just the way they talk to you, they treat you, I think that's amazing. It made a big difference for all the appointments that we had to go through.
And doctor, how important is that sort of that quality of life as they're getting this treatment to do it as comfortably as possible?
I mean, it's so critical because, again, these are cancers that we expect him to get through. So, you know, what's the other side going to look like is so vital. And again, we're very lucky to have so many supportive services at Dana-Farber that, you know, whatever your need is, if you need counseling, if you need additional financial assistance for the rest of your family, that's something that we can provide. And really, you know, I'm really glad how well Greg has been doing through all of this.
You mentioned everyone should get screened at 50. Is that one of the main things you'd want people to know if they were listening in?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and it's amazing. Since I've gone through this journey, you know, I talked to friends or other people, you know, that I know, and it's amazing how many people are unaware of like tests that they need to get done. You know, a lot of people, for example, men my age, first of all, a lot of them don't even know what PSA means, never mind getting the test. You know, I'd really like to see more awareness and more emphasis put on getting people screened, you know, because that's really how early detection, you know, that's how it happens, right? So yeah, that's been a big it's so important, you know. Yeah,
anything else with prevention? I assume you agree with everything that he just said.
Yes, you know, it's one of the prostate cancer is one of the few cancers that we have screening for. It's not perfect, but it's certainly better than for many others where we don't. So yes, if you haven't already, and you know, sibling, parent, anyone who is the right age, that's something that you should absolutely do.
You guys are going to the Sox game tonight. I know you like going to Sox games. How are you feeling about the team these days? They've been, yesterday aside, they've been doing pretty well, it seems, yeah?
Yeah, they've been doing great. You know, the game's at 7. You know, the Jimmy Fund and Dana-Farber have given us tickets, so that's awesome that, you know, we can all attend, and I'm looking forward to it. They got a really good shot of making the playoffs, you know, and
and not 95 degrees out today.
Yeah, it's not 95. We have great weather today. Yeah.
Well, that is true. Well, Greg and Alma and Dr. Centaniedo, thank you for coming on, sharing your story, sharing your experience, and helping raise a ton of awareness and money as well. It is much appreciated, and we couldn't do it without you guys, so thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Enjoy the game tonight.
All right.
And continue to donate toll-free, 877-738-1234, online, www.jimmyfund.org, and you can text to give any amount. Just text KCANCER to 56512. We are up again at $525,000. Or $525,337, I should say, and closing in on that $1 million that will be unlocked by the Hale family.
I think it's a good pace. I'll tell you what. I think it's a good pace right now.
I think
we get to the end of the game tonight to get to a million.
That seems to be the general feeling as where things are at here on day one of the telethon. So, no, it's been again, I tell most of our guests off the air that, you know, we can't really – we can try to talk our way through this. We can try to, you know, give some insight onto it and talk it up. But we wouldn't be able to do this without all the guests that come on here. Join us, tell us their stories, and really the screen. Like, I know Wiggy talks about this all the time, like screening and how important that is.
Right.
And just letting people know that that's something, hey, I'm almost 50. I mean, right, we're both in our 40s, Keith.
Oh, yeah. Just, speaking up on it.
Just knowing and understanding that some of the money generated is going to contribute to clinical trials and even these screenings and things as simple as and meaningful, but as simple as toys at the Jimmy Fund Clinic as well. That's where all this goes.
Yeah, no, it's pretty amazing. I mean, just from some of the people that we have spoken to today, I mean, it was just either regular screenings that they went in for or like a weird nagging injury, you know? Just, oh, like my shoulder hurts, but it's probably nothing. No, it turns out it actually was something, you know? And so just always be on top of whatever you can be and get in there as soon as you can.
So again, donate toll-free 877-738-1234 or online jimmyfund.org. We are joined now by Red Sox play-by-play announcer, the voice of the Red Sox, Will Fleming, joining us here on WEEI. Will, thanks for jumping on here on day one of our coverage.
No, I'm so happy to be a part of it. You guys have done a wonderful job. And isn't it amazing how we all have done this so many times, and yet you get caught up in the rhythms of your life and you worry about so many trivial things, and then you get into a day like this and you say, wait a minute, am I really that mad about Isaiah Campbell when these people are going into
I'm still pretty scared about getting... I get your point.
Yeah, it's a good point. I am too, to be honest. I am too. But it is amazing. You know, the strength of the patients and their families and the brilliance of the doctors and researchers. It's I don't know about you guys. I mean, we live in Boston for a reason because it's the best sports town, but it's also the best medical town. And I think today and tomorrow remind us of what makes this amazing place just about as good as anywhere in the world. So I've been really moved by everything you guys have been doing, and I'm thrilled to be a part of it.
Well, and Will, you see it firsthand too, just the connection that the Red Sox players have year after year after year with the Jimmy Fund and taking their time out and to visit with the kids and everything else. And it truly is amazing when you see these guys spending so much time and energy over there at the clinic.
You know what else is very true that I don't think people know a lot about is that so many players in my time with the team just go over there unannounced, and they don't make a big deal of it. In this world where everybody's posting their every move and taking pictures of every snack they eat, so many of our players, like on an off day when they get home at 4:30 in the morning, are over at the clinic like at 9 a.m., checking in with the friends that they've made because they know. And I hope you guys have seen it. I have. I mean, when those dudes walk into the room, especially with the kids, it changes their day. And it's just an amazing thing. I can't tell you how many kids that I've talked to over all these years who refer to guys like Brock Holt and Garrett Whitlock and so many others as their best friends. And I think that the organization does such a neat job of trying to explain the importance of it, but it's the players themselves and anybody who walks down those halls and sees the stories and meets the kids, it's hard to not get overwhelmed by it. But they get so much credit, I think, for investing as much as they do in it, and it's just another part of what makes the Red Sox kind of a different organization.
Well, Will Fleming, WEEI, joining us here on Jones and Keefe. We had Olivia on earlier; she was age 5. She mentioned Garrett Whitlock by name.
Oh yeah.
When we were over, Keith, when we were over at Dana-Farber, and this is good to know, honestly, I should have mentioned this earlier, where the money goes. Like, people ask all the time, where does the money go? We were at Dana-Farber a couple of weeks ago, and they have a new center there, really, for young adults, which, you know, the Jimmy Fund treats or will deal with more pediatric care. But there are also older patients, and Liam Hendricks kind of felt like he was more in that middle window, 18 to 40, and they have a whole center there where money from this telethon has gone, where maybe you felt a little too old to be with, you know, kids 10 and under. Maybe you didn't quite feel like you fit in with people 40 and up. And so the money has gone there. And I guess Liam Hendricks is on like a first-name basis with lots of the young adults in there. So that's just another one to bring up as well. Will, just sticking with what's gone on the field, it looked like it was a really positive weekend until things wound up taking a turn late in that game yesterday. What do you think of the whole handling of the bullpen, Chapman not being available? How much do you think that's going to come into play down the stretch? Your thoughts on all of it?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, it goes back to Saturday night. This is no secret, right? I mean, I really don't mean to pick on Isaiah Campbell, especially on this day of all days, but it's just unacceptable to have a guy who can't hold a 5-run lead. And whether it's him or somebody else, you don't talk about it a lot, but those roles in the bullpen are super important. You have to have people who can do a job to stay away from the big arms. And unfortunately, you know, this Red Sox bullpen that has been fabulous all year, that has been one thing that has let them down. But too often, you've had to go to the high-leverage relievers in spots that you shouldn't. You got a big lead. So I thought it started on Saturday when Campbell couldn't hold it and you had to use Chapman there. I do not fault the manager at all for not using Chapman yesterday. He made the point before the game, and I think it's a really good one. You know, the Astros started leaning hard into Josh Hader, and now he's out for the year. And you just have to be careful with these things. But that doesn't mean that they don't need to sit long and hard and think about, you know, who deserves what job. And I think, you know, yesterday and even Saturday, especially Saturday, are a spot where, you know, somebody like Jordan Hicks needs to be a little bit more dependable, because that would have been a spot for him to come in and try to cool things off. But, it's one of those things. It hopefully it's not a one-game margin that decides it, but they need to be more dependable in those sort of middle relief spots. There are guys at AAA that are on the roster that I think could fill those roles. So I think decisions and moves are coming. And I hope they are, because this team is playing too well. They got too much positive energy to lose games the way they did yesterday.
Yeah, frustrating that Garrett Crochet pitches as well as he does and can't get a win to show for it. But on a positive side, Will, you've been calling games now for a while. First time in 5, 6, 7 years where every fifth day you have a guy going who truly is one of the two or three best pitchers in all of baseball.
It's amazing, isn't it? And we always know this. And the Red Sox have a long history of these guys. You know, Roger and Pedro and so many others, Lester and Schilling, where when they take the mound, you know that you're in a game. And not only that, you should win those games. And I think it's frustrating the last couple times that they've not won when he's been on the mound. But overall, to your point, it's an amazing, transformative thing. You know, and I sometimes have to check myself, because I'm watching the game yesterday and I'm saying out loud on the air, like, man, he is definitely not as sharp right now. He's lost it a little bit and he's given up 2 hits through 6 innings, you know, because he sets the bar that high where you're just expecting him to get no contact and blow people away, no 3 ball counts. He's just been, you know, guys, we saw him in Chicago last year and I was dying to get him at the deadline and thrilled that they traded for him in this offseason. And you hope that he's going to be great. I don't think anybody in their wildest dreams could have thought he'd be this good this quickly. I mean, he is really among the elite guys. And I think that's something to watch down the stretch here, too. I don't think it's done at all that Scooble is going to win the Cy Young. They've both got a bunch of starts left. And who knows, if the Red Sox make a real surge and Crochet pitches better, I think he could totally win that award. But setting that aside, he's just been so much fun to watch. And again, that's where getting into the playoffs is so important, because can you imagine in a 3-game series, you start game one with Crochet on the mound. He just changes so much for this club.
Okay, so Will thinks that's a buying opportunity, Keith, not a sucker.
I was trying to tell you that.
That's a buying opportunity. That's good to know.
I don't know why Scooble's such a heavy favorite. Crochet has his better stats in a bunch of areas. I don't know. I'm with Will on this. Crochet could definitely win it.
Just circling back to something you said earlier, Will, that I found interesting. You mentioned changes coming. I think you were talking specifically about the bullpen, maybe Tolley. I don't want to put any names in your mouth, but I'm curious if it's just pitching or if you think guys like Garcia, who we saw get reps at first in Worcester, or even Christian Campbell, are those guys that you see making a potential impact, or does the signing of Lowe, is that going to kind of block those guys or at least keep them in Worcester for the time being?
Well, the password is a little bit different. He's taken some reps at first, and I mean, the bat right now is out of control. So that is its own thing. Maybe they just want to try to catch lightning in a bottle and see what happens if they bring him up. The thing about this team right now is that you're trying to create spaces for Sadon to get out in the outfield, right? You don't need really more outfielders right now. So if they believe that Garcia could play a little first base and do okay over there, that would be interesting to me. The one that keeps coming up is Christian Campbell, because they've got every incentive to get him back here, right? I mean, they've invested so much in him. It would be a great story to have him back and sort of return to his April form. I do think the low signing signals that at least at first base, they're going to try to go in that direction right now. But to me now, it becomes, okay, with Meyer out for the season, who is it that can capably, you know, hold it down a little bit at second base so that Sadon can go back out into the outfield where he's so much better. And, you know, by some numbers, he's much more comfortable at the plate, although I think that's probably a little bit overblown. You know, you hear these reports that maybe Nate Eaton is coming. And so when you hear that, guys, I just think we haven't gotten the update on the Abreu injury as far as I know. So I don't think it's for that. I think that maybe the Red Sox are moving some other parts in and out. Maybe they won't have three catchers on the roster anymore, which is kind of a short-term kind of Band-Aid situation. But when you hear names like Nate Eaton, to me, like if Campbell or Garcia were ready, don't you think that like that would be the move no matter what, just because of the offensive upside? So that makes me wonder a little bit. And then on the bullpen front, you said Toley, and I think he's probably at the top of the list. You know, David Sandlin has gone into the bullpen, and he's got this fastball that all these scouts just like rave about. And say it can be an elite pitch. But from what I'm hearing, it's kind of erratic. So I don't think that is necessarily an answer in the real short term, as much as we'd all love it to be. And there's some other sort of second-tier bullpen arms down at AAA. But I think Toley is the one that becomes super interesting to really impact this team down the stretch, because everybody says he's got the best fastball in the minor leagues, and the secondary stuff is kind of average, if not a work in progress. But who cares? I mean, can you imagine? Like, it is the crochet and the sail thing. Like, if you got a guy from the left side who comes up here and throws 100 and blows people away and just lets it completely eat for 3, 4, 5 hitters, I think that could be really transformative in the Red Sox bullpen. So all eyes are on him for sure. And I hope that Campbell and or the password can get here at some point, particularly Christian.
Will, have you heard of any potential buyer's remorse from the San Francisco Giants as it relates to one Rafael Devers?
I've stayed away from that, given what we all went through with that. You know what, guys? I bet you they don't have buyer's remorse. And I literally, I'm not even willing to ask. Like, hey, have you guys seen any of the stuff that we saw? Because it's too raw a wound, you know. But I will say that, you know, as I said from the outset, in no way is Devers a bad dude. Nobody with the Red Sox is like cheering for him to fail. That's not it at all. He just was unwilling to do something that this team really wanted him to do. And I think in certain ways, both on and off the field, you know, he didn't grow and mature in a way that the Red Sox hoped that he would. So it was time for a change. The Red Sox have taken off. Now it's the Giants' problem to figure out how to balance those things, because he's going to hit, and he started to hit again. Whether he's going to hit at the rate that his contract would sort of justify, that's an entirely different question. But I haven't heard there's buyer's remorse. And, you know, you have to remember this, guys. I think the reason that the Giants took on all the money and were willing to make that deal is that they've been in on Judge and Soto and Otani and every big free agent, but nobody wants to go there. I mean, it's the combination of the tax laws, the ballpark, which is really tough to hit in. They needed to trade for a big hitter to get him. So I think they're happy to get one of those sort of upper echelon hitters. I don't think he's a top 5 or top 10 hitter. I think that's always been a little bit overblown, but he will be clutch in big spots. He will hit him a bunch of homers. I don't think they regret the deal, but gosh knows that it's certainly looking like a really masterful stroke by Craig Breslow.
All right. Well, Will Fleming, voice of the Red Sox, he's on the call tonight as day one of the Jimmy Fund Telethon rolls on here on WEEI. Will, we appreciate you jumping on and taking some time. Thanks so much.
No problem. I always love it. And when I get there, I'm going to link up with the phone banks or the people who take donations, because I'm going to make a donation that's linked to every win the Red Sox have this year. So we're going to figure out the right number to make me not too poor when the Red Sox win 38 of their last, you know, 35 of their last 37 games. But
wow,
I want to be a big part of this, because I love the Jimmy Fund, and whether it's $50 or something in that world for every Red Sox win, we're going to get that done as soon as I get to the ballpark today.
All right. Well, that is excellent. That is excellent, Will. Thank you for doing that. And I will be listening tonight. Thanks so much.
Appreciate you guys. Thanks so much.
All right. Well, thank you.
Will Fleming donating there per Red Sox. He's going to finalize the number, but
yeah, win out then.
Every dollar counts.
Excellent.
We are at $525,337 and counting. You can sign up to be a monthly donor today, and you'll be entered to win an exclusive Fenway Park tour, including a behind-the-scenes look at the WEEI and Nesson Studios. Winner will be selected this week. You can join Jimmy's team, the monthly giving program. A meaningful gift will be charged on your credit card each month, and it's an easy way to support the work of Dana-Farber all year long. Call 877-738-1234 or go to jimmyfund.org to sign up today. You can also text to give any amount. Just text KCANCER to 56512. We will wrap things up before we hand off to WEEI Afternoons as day one of the telethon rolls on here on WEEI.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Fighting for those that inspire.
Please help WEEI and Nesson strike out cancer. Please call 877-738-1234 to make a gift.
Now, back to Jones and Keefe and the WEEI Nesson Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon.
Jones and Keefe wrapping up our portion of the coverage here to day one of the WEEI Nesson Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon presented by Arbella Insurance. Continue to give 877-738-1234. You can donate any amount, and it's basically double through the end of the Red Sox game, up to $1 million. Once we unlock that million, Rob and Karen Hale will match another $1 million. We're up over half a million so far, $525,337. So again, toll free 877-738-1234, online jimmyfund.org, and you can text to give any amount if that's the easiest way to do it. Just text KCANCER to 56512. It's as simple as a text away. Charlie Davies said this earlier today. Keith, it's true. Just go donate what you can,
yeah.
Whatever that is. If it's a dollar, that can tend to make a big difference. You heard that from a number of the patients we talked to today. You heard it from the doctor's perspective as well. The full family, when they're here, we've heard from wives and husbands and children. So it really is a way to get involved and contribute to very meaningful things. That could be toys for kids at the Jimmy Fund. That could be wigs and prosthetics and things like that. That can be clinical trials, research. And so it gets used in a variety of different ways, but 87 cents on every dollar is donated to help out in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, and off to a good start, I would say. Like you said, $525,000, and we're just about to get to WEEI Afternoons coming up. Then the game. Sox and O's, by the way. We haven't mentioned that. I think Dustin May. It's May Day tonight.
It is his...
See if he can keep it going.
If he has another good one, do they break out the hats with the red hair off the back?
Consider it.
Do you think we already see him tonight? You kind of talked that out into existence earlier. Maybe we'll actually see it.
People would want the hat with the hair for Dustin May, and maybe a little fake goatee as well. Maybe that comes in the...
Well, that'd be a good addition.
That'd be like a nice night.
That'd be a nice little extra thing to throw in there. That is true.
That'd be one of them. But no, everything's going well so far.
And they get top five American League pitcher, as we learned last week, Trevor Rogers.
Yeah, I was not prepared for that. The Orioles are terrible. You're like, oh, this guy's fantastic, though. He's got... I think he has like a sub 2 ERA, doesn't he?
He's been very good. Yeah, I believe you're right. I think it's in the ones.
So that's why I get to warn everybody. You have until the end of the game. It could be a fast game to raise $1 million, is what I'm saying. So you have until the end of the game. There might be like a 2-hour and 10-minute game.
So no reason to wait is what you're saying.
Get in there now.
Get in there.
Exactly. It's exactly what I'm saying. And yeah, we had some great stories today. Some great guests that stopped by. Heather was hilarious, who joined us. She's the one that did the research on us,
yep.
Which was great. Olivia just calling out her brother, calling out her dad.
Well, I like how she was acting out like she's going to be at the game, like she was jumping up and down and like cheering on Garrett Whitlock. If he gets into the game,
yep.
I'm hoping we see, for Olivia's sake, I'm hoping we get Garrett Whitlock actually in the game tonight.
Yes, seriously.
We're going to need really that.
Either tonight or tomorrow, he has to pitch. Yes, tonight would be ideal. We have to be the first show that had a 5-year-old girl tell her brother he's butt at Fortnite. That's got to, I mean, I never heard it before.
No, I was going to say, my son is seven. I've not heard that terminology.
No.
But no, that's good. It's good to be up on the lingo, Keith.
It wasn't fair to him, though, because he wasn't mic'd up. So he couldn't even have a good retort back.
No, but
she's like, I got you.
That's the best way, though.
Yeah,
if you're
going
to roast somebody, that's the best way to do it. You roast them when they can't.
They can't
come back. We also learned, and you just got a quick little snippet of that there on twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. You're gonna go. Are you going shorts?
I don't know. I haven't decided for tomorrow. The legs were a big hit today, but I think I might have to go pants, or maybe I'll just put some sort of barrier in front.
Oh yeah, yeah. Zoom out. That's good. Yeah, get the whole body picture.
Shoes pop though a little bit.
Shoes do pop. I'm not gonna lie. Shoes do pop.
Take your attention slightly off my shins. We'll figure that out.
So we'll see if Hart and Fitzy learned anything with the short shorts.
The pants store, I think. Both of them. They both just turned around, went right to it.
But keep it locked here on WEEI, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. And, of course, the number remains the same throughout the next 2 days as day one of the WEEI Ness and Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon presented by Arbella Insurance rolls on with Hart and Fitzy. Dial them up. 877-738-1234 is how you donate, I should say, toll-free. Online, jimmyfund.org, or you can text to give any amount. Just text KCANCER to 56512. We will be back here tomorrow morning at 10. Stay tuned for WEEI Afternoons as the Jimmy Fund Telethon rolls on here today on WEEI.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.